Hey, this is Big Papa Pump Scott's Diner.
Yes, yes, it is me, Gerald the Poopé.
Hey, this is Joe Gatto. And
this is Eric Young.
Well, hello there. It's me, Harold the Puppet.
This is Johnny Wrestling, Johnny Gargano, and you are listening to Shootin' Poop.
Shootin' Poop.
The following podcast is brought to you by the Jonas Podcasting Network. Found exclusively at WrestlingWithJonas.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, episode number 89. We don't have a working title yet. 88 was easy. Primetime. You guys know I'm a Cowboys fan. How am I not going to do Primetime, Showtime, Deion Sanders, Michael Irvin. Jesus Christ.
Deion. You could be a Falcons fan or a 49ers fan or a Ravens fan or whoever was willing to give Primetime a contract.
Or Atlanta Braves. Played in Cincinnati, Yankees.
That number 88, though, you know, that's Cowboy famous, man. You got Irvin, Dak, Dez. Fuck, I'm all over the place tonight. Dez,
come on, Irvin, man. Primetime was like Harrison. The free chick at the bar. If there's money involved, and he loved to pray, and he was always on his knees, so it was always fitting that he could do both at the same time.
Well, you know what? Well, you know what I think about that? You know what I think about that, Sean? I do like to pray. I do pray.
Is that Deion or Shannon Sharp?
Hold on. What did I say here, Skip?
Gotta get that. There's one person I fucking hate on this planet. I don't hate a lot of people.
You know what?
Like, real talk, I like joke about it and stuff like that, but you know, truthfully, I'm pretty laid back. I let shit roll off. I'm like, whatever, man. I don't care. Do your thing. It is what it is. But I tell you, I fucking despise. I mean, truly, from the fucking bottom of my ball sack, I despise and hate Skip Bayless.
That's low to the ground, too, folks. Just so
Skip
you know.
Skip Bayless.
He's got short legs.
Oh, God, I can't stand him either.
Fuck all of you guys. Dude, Skip Bayless is the worthless sack of shit.
Oh. Yeah, I Skip. Well, see, unlike the premiere, I hate most people.
I was about to say.
Most people. Yeah, and I don't even pretend. I fucking hate most people.
You know, you
and
really
unlike the both of you, and unlike the both of you, I love just about everybody.
Yeah, yeah, you're a big ball of love up there.
Yeah.
You know, the Silver Wolf really, really hates Tyrus. We're going to let him finish the show with that. So
yeah, you guys are gonna want to stick around.
Spoiler alert!
Spoiler alert! If you don't like wrestling, you're not watching Tyrus, and well, you know,
hey, Sean
Wolf has something to say.
God. Well, I was gonna ask Sean, what was that word you described how you were gonna go tonight with your final thought?
I said I was gonna go nuclear.
Well, you kind of killed it because he says that on there. Never mind.
Oh. You know, I'm just gonna be.
You fucking tee up.
We really got to work with the fucking producer, man.
He tees up his
no,
own.
No, because he says
tees me up, and then you don't hit the fucking
he
button.
Didn't hit the ball. No. Because you have to say nuclear.
Nuclear. It's pronounced.
That's how it's done.
Hey, man, you know what? I think you're looking a little groggy, and you might be a little sleepy. Maybe you just need a kickstart. You should go get one. There's probably one within 3 hours of you somewhere.
Honestly, 3 hours from him is literally just like the Walmart run.
Yeah.
Dude. Fucking that.
You know what, though? We didn't get Sean's take on the weekend because he wasn't here with us last week. Sean, what?
Are we going to start the show or are we just going to keep fucking talking?
Yeah, we have
like
to officially start the show. Let's start the show.
Can we play some music maybe? Do a video? I don't know.
You know what? Fine. You guys want to do it. I just wanted to ask Sean how.
just cut him off mid sentence, man. You just like fucking.
I almost spit my fucking drink out.
Oh yeah, dude, that's just rude.
Do you want to know what happens when you cut off the hot one mid fucking thought, DDJ? Do you want to know what happens?
I'll tell you what. When you actually when you have a coherent thought, I'll let me know.
Wow. See, I know you love these little bastards, DDJ. I don't love these motherfuckers like you do. Are you gonna... I'm taking them off the card. I'm opening the little fucker up. Look who's there. That's Matt Sydal. If I could just rip his fucking from the taint to the fucking mouth. Hold on. Call that motherfucker the one-legged fucker.
Oh my god, you took his leg off.
Took his leg off. See there, DJ, what happens when you cut me off? I'm not such a nice person. Somebody could have enjoyed that. You know,
that's high-quality merch you guys are getting.
They collect those. And you see this thing here? People even collect the car, dude. How mad Dennis made me just because he cut me off. But let's get back into a happier space. Sean, how did you enjoy the weekend in Chicago before I was rudely interrupted?
Oh man, I had a great time, man. I had a really good time. The funny thing about that was what kind of hit me the most, and I'm gonna break character here for a minute, so just bear with me. Two things stood out for me. Three. One, Jovan being in my driveway and just walking in the house and sitting that on the couch and us just sitting there talking like grown, just chopping it up like grown folk. Just this, like we never skipped a beat. Joey K walking in the B&B and just, you know, no words exchanged, just a big fucking hug. Man, a little bastard, you know. I just, dude, when I was able to rest my chin on top of his head, it just meant so much to me to know that even though that was the first time me and that man had been in the same room, it wasn't 5 seconds we were hugging. I love that dude to death. It's pretty cool to know that. I mean, me and Dennis Savoy, we've been friends for a very long time. And I know I give him shit and he gives me shit. But I think everybody knows who watches that, you know, I love that dude. Yes, we get on each other's nerves. We are two completely different people, but I love that dude. And to, you know, have that same kind of brotherhood with you two guys means a lot to me. It didn't really hit me until we were leaving, like just standing in that driveway, getting ready to take off. And there was just that moment there where it was just like, man, fuck, this is over already. It just... And as tired as I was, and I was tired as a motherfucker, I really was, you know, and then as we were leaving, we were kind of one car in front of the other, and these guys had to go straight, and I had to make a left, and man, it was nothing but horns and hands out the window, and it was just, that was really cool. That's the the one thing that when I got home that night and I sat down at the kitchen table with Gabby and just kind of went over the entire weekend, man, that was just the one thing that caught me off guard was I just, you know, I didn't expect it to be like that, dude. I knew we would have fun, but I can't really call that place home, but God damn it. It felt like home, you know?
Yeah.
So it was a good time, man. And we laughed our fucking asses off. I gave DDJ consistent shit about a Kickstarter, and it wasn't his fault, you guys.
What do you mean, Gabe? You still are.
Well, I mean, it's still funny. That's why I keep doing it.
Still hits.
Dude, I don't care if it entertains them. It entertains me.
Oh, because it's all about you? It
makes me laugh. And I'm my biggest fan, dude. Don't get it twisted. It was a great fucking weekend. I loved the show. We had a good time at the wrestling show. We even had a better time hanging out after the show and having dinner with Ty and just kind of sitting there and bullshitting. And then Saturday we got to go to the toy show and walk around, and Jovan about broke my ankle shoving me out of a picture because he's such a marketing.
Well, you know.
Remember,
I actually got a free request from Jimmy this week, which is pretty cool.
So funny story that you mentioned that. He said when you accepted his friend request, he sent me a text in all caps and said, Sean Thomas accepted my friend request. And I had a good laugh at that, dude. Jimmy's a good dude, hilarious. Man. He's a good dude.
Well, dude, when we run into people that are watching our show, I don't care where we're at or how few of them there are. It's still pretty cool to know that there's people out there listening and they care, you know, so that was cool, man.
Hell yeah.
And then of course, Saturday night we got to, you know, we did our show and man, that shit started Friday about noon for me. And I don't think it ended until I got home Sunday night. Like it was nonstop all weekend. I don't know. I think the only time we weren't on is when we were snoring or farting in the bathroom. I'm not sure which.
That's pretty much it.
I know we blew that basement up, brother. It was getting tore up.
I was very surprised that we didn't get charged an extra cleaning fee.
Yeah, man. Yeah. But then.
Fucking animals.
You know.
Oh, us. Okay.
Just to give you, I'm going to steal everybody else's line, but I'm going to give a little peek behind the curtain. The most surprising moment of the entire weekend was going to breakfast Sunday morning and Joey K going up to the front of the line and taking advantage of the children's discount and buying all of his lunch, which was so funny.
I was like three adults and one child, please. And the girl just looked at me.
No questions asked.
The girl looked at me. I turned around. I'm looking at DJ. I'm like, he's a child. It's fine.
That's hilarious, man. No questions. Go, like go said, and grabbing lunch like I, and then, you know, got to like take I you said, through.
No questions asked.
No questions asked.
Yeah, she saw big. She knows a big child. When
And then we got to go through my city, which I love, man. And I got to share my knowledge and my love of Chicago with Joey K. And I am hoping he returns the favor when I come to his city next year.
I want to pipe in real quick, Sean. I was impressed with how much you knew. Like I was, and I think I told it was one of these other two guys. I think when we were eating at Portillo's after you had left to go home, I was so in awe and impressed with your knowledge, man. Like wow, you wowed me.
Yeah, dude, it's not a shtick, dude. I love Chicago. I love Chicago. I mean, it's up there, you know, like my wife, my kids, Chicago. I mean, it's right there in the top three.
In the mix.
I just, you know, to be in that city and the history of it and, you know, the Bears and the Bulls and the Cubs, even the White Sox, man, and the Blackhawks and just the history of the city, you know, from the Capone era all the way on till now. And just, I mean.
Dude, we said this too. I think, Jovan, didn't we say this in the morning, like driving to the airport? It was like, yo, fucking Sean is like the best tour guide.
Yeah.
Fucking say, yeah. He's like, see that building over there? I'm like, okay. And I'm Chris, like, fuck, dude, dropping fucking bombs. I was like,
out of nowhere.
Damn.
Dude,
I can tell you where that started for me was I grew up in Southern Illinois. You know, I lived in Texas and Arizona and California, but the biggest chunk of my childhood was in Southern Illinois. And I have an uncle that, you know, as soon as he could get away, he bounced and he hit Chicago and he never came back. And so we would go up there and visit, and every chance I got to spend time at my Uncle Lee's, and he lived on the south side of Chicago, I would go. So like going to O'Hare and walking downtown and just all that stuff, man. And about the time I was 15 or 16, basketball has been a huge part of my life, my entire life. I was a Bulls fan before Michael Jordan even laced shoes. So there was a movie back in like 86 or 87 called Heaven is a Playground. It's a terrible movie. I mean, it's just a terrible, terrible movie. But it was basically about this inner city guy who like cleaned up the basketball courts in Cabrini and would run basketball camps and help kids get out of the projects and go to college. And I just remember like, man, I'm going to go find that basketball court. I'm going to go play ball on it. And that's what That's what started it. So, you know, I mean, we don't have the Rutgers in Chicago, but you know, those courts, man, if you could walk onto those courts in Cabrini as a white boy and play, dude, that was my NBA. I mean, I couldn't tell you what it was like to play under in front of 50,000 people or walk onto an NBA court or even a Division I school because I missed my opportunity. But I know what it's like to be on the court at Cabrini Green and play and be the only white boy for blocks and get my nose busted open and get cracked in my chest and still get up and keep playing every time till I earn some respect. So,
well,
there's something about Chicago that just gets in my gut, just got in my heart. So
you earned a lot of respect from us, dude. We were fucking lost on the highway, guys. And this is 100% truth. We're lost on a highway and out of nowhere. Hey, look at the right there. That's a fucking Chris Farley. Chris Farley fucking died of coke right there.
If you look to your right out the window there with Javon Soto, that is the hotel. Chris Farley died on the 8th floor of that hotel.
Dude, it was like we're like Javon and I are sitting in the back seat looking at each other like, we're on a fucking tour, bro.
Lot of people they don't know the history, man. Dr. King walked the streets of Cicero in 1968.
No one's been able to walk the streets of Cicero since.
Right. You know, the Black Panthers had a building and an office and a food program in downtown. Afeni Shakur lived in Chicago. And for those of you who don't know, that's Tupac's mama. She was a legit badass. Like, she took on the Supreme Court and federal judges and everything. Like, yeah, I mean, it wasn't just a fluke that Tupac was as intelligent and talented as he was. Like, his mom was a fucking genius.
I'm not gonna lie. When you said that in the car, I was like, oh shit. All right.
Yeah, dude. There's
so much shit I didn't know.
There's history. I mean, and it's not all good history. I'm not saying it is, but I mean, it's that kind of town. I mean, it's on par with like Philly and New York and LA.
That happened. Know. I think he was telling us about Afeni right when we passed that smiling, creepy guy.
Wondering when that guy was going to get. I'm like, we got to get out of here. We got to go.
Captain Kangaroo up there in the corner was freaking out because he was driving, man. I was just like, dude, he ain't going to do nothing, dude. He hasn't ate in 3 days. He's fine.
He's just happy.
If he ate a sandwich, he would have been good.
That dude was just happy to still
be breathing. I mean, just – and it was kind of cool, too, man, to watch Joey K. Just like, I mean, here's a Philly guy, and he's, like, in Chicago, and he's just fucking getting excited about everything. And, dude, I don't know how many times we had to pull him back in the car.
That mark there, taking building pictures, taking art pictures, taking look at the foliage, look at the leaves, man. Dude,
yo, but my pictures were pretty fucking dope, though.
Well, dude, I mean,
look at the fucking leaves. That's beautiful. Goddamn it, Cossack. I'm like, oh, calm down, Joey.
For those who don't know, in Millennium Park, where the Bean is, that's where all the parades are for like when the Bears win, the Blackhawks win, the Bulls won, the Chicago Sky won a couple years ago.
Did you tell Gabby that Joey K flicked the bean in Chicago?
I did tell her, yeah. But she, you know, apparently she knew he was capable. But we'll talk about that later.
What the fuck?
I'm just kidding, dude.
This is like fucking Pulp Fiction. What are you talking about?
There's a spot when you come down from looking at the bean and
you're there is
a platform. And that platform.
Yeah.
Oh, I told Joey, I was like, man, check that out. And he just like when he seen it, you could just tell, like, but it's right down the middle of the city. And it's, man, I mean, it's. Yeah, dude, I fucking love Chicago, dude. I love everything. I get emotional about it. I do. I get carried away with it. I know I do. But, you know, it's home. It's home. It's the one place where I don't feel like the outcast. So.
It's like, beautiful. So, like, for me, like, too, like, because I'll go to Philly, but, like, for me, it's just, like, Philly now. And, like, everybody knows around here and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But, like, dude, it just reminded me, I'm like, than what you were just saying earlier, like, fuck, when you guys fucking come out here next year for Mania, dude, it's going to be like that. I'm going to be like, oh, shit, let me take you downtown. Let me show you this, this, this.
Dude, I want to see the Rocky statue on the stairs. You better take me to the fucking fish market, man. I want to walk that fucking motherfucker, too, man. Dude, that thing's been in so many goddamn movies. I got
to
see it.
Dude, we're going to fucking South Philly. We're going to the fucking art museum. We're going to hit, like, fucking anywhere and everywhere that is pretty fucking cool in the city. Yeah. You know? Like, I just, oh, man. Like, it got me pretty hyped because you were like, yo, check this out. Check this out. And I'm like, you know what? I know a lot of fucking places like that in Philly, too.
Yeah,
so I'm just gonna fucking throw it down. So it got me pretty hyped for that too.
I wish we had shit like that in Dallas. I mean, you guys come down here when I'm like, this is where we shot JFK. Dude.
Like, I know everybody wants to talk about is JFK, but
there's a guy up there in the sixth floor. Like,
for instance, I'll give you a for instance. I know quite a bit about Dallas too. Oddly enough, the gentleman that Joey K was talking about, Skip Bayless. Do you know where he got his start?
No.
Dallas Morning News. He was a reporter back in the 80s for Dallas Sports for a very long time. He made his bones in Dallas, Texas, as a journalist. So, I mean, and just all the people that come from that area, not just pro wrestling, but
man, yeah, I could take out to the abandoned lot where the Sportatorium used to stand.
You know, was it Waco is like the birthplace of outlaw country music. That's where Merle Haggard and Waylon Jennings and Johnny Cash all went to record out, and Willie Nelson left Nashville and went to Texas. Then that's where he made his bones, man. So
big reels, rolling man. All the time.
History's all around you, brother. It's all around you.
I am excited for one other thing too, because we know Mania Week's going to have tons of shows everywhere.
Oh yeah,
oh hell yeah.
I'm just excited to see what's happened at the 2300 Arena. Because that's where I want to go with you guys.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Now, look, it's not the fucking old bingo hall anymore, but
who gives a shit?
It's a fucking great place to watch a show. I fucking love it. There's been so many fucking Ring of Honor shows in there, like as the newer version of the 2300 arena, and never had a fucking bad time there.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Let's talk about good times. Last weekend, shit ton of wrestling, 4 pay-per-views, guys, over Memorial Day weekend. We all kind of said what we thought would steal the show for us. What stole your show for you? Who has a good match that you saw last weekend?
I got one.
Go ahead.
Well, I want to go with the obvious one, and that was Anarchy in the Arena, which I actually just finished watching right before we started recording. But I'm going to give you one that shocked me. That was way better than what I expected it to be. And I would say, when I think steal the show, it's one of those you don't think it's going to be good, but it ends up being really good. I'm going to go with Ilya Dragunov versus Dijak from Battleground. That match was just, I was so in awe of how good that was. And goddamn, those two beat the crap out of each other.
I wonder who called that.
That DDT on the steel steps, though, man. Have you ever seen that? That was...
Dude, and then that finish when he hit him, blasted him with the forearm, the back of his head, and he set his Dijak's face in the chair and basically knocked him out. What a finish.
Told you guys that was going to be a great match.
Great call on that, Jovan.
Thank you. I was waiting for that. Sean, what'd you like from the weekend?
I'm going to go with the... And here's the thing, like, I'm going to just real quick throw this out. I didn't watch Double or Nothing because I really couldn't give a shit about that card. I just – they couldn't even give tickets away to fill that motherfucker up. Let's be honest. There's a lot of empty seats in that bitch. I can't wait to see what Wembley looks like. That's going to be fun.
Well, that shit sold out.
65,000.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with the Chicago boy and talk about Gunther – and Mustafa Ali. I thought that was
a sneaky, did I not see that out, last man. Week? You did.
You did call that, I think. Yeah.
He did call it.
He did call out.
Fuck.
But just, I mean, if there's ever been a doubt what Walter, I'm just calling Walter, what Walter can do. Dude, he made Mustafa look, he made him look good, dude. He sold a couple things there that for me, I was just like, okay.
He proved that he can work with anybody in the company.
Anybody. That guy can work with anybody.
Yeah.
And why he's not getting more of a push, I don't know. I don't know, but for me, was the best match.
I will say, I think he's basically, I think roughly right now, about 3 months or so away from breaking the Honky Tonk Man's record. I think he's going to get it. I think he's going to get it. Oh, at this point, sure. And then I think after he does
does that mean that the Honky Tonk Man will be wiped out of the record books forever? I hope that don't happen.
Fuck. But I think once he breaks that record and drops the title, he's going into the world title picture. He's gonna be in the world title picture by the end of the year,
dude. Him versus Seth for the fucking world title would be like amazing.
Or him versus Roman right now.
No, Roman's not losing. I'm gonna
put Roman in there with him.
Because that's probably the only matchup that's bad for him at this point.
I imagine
Gunther and Roman are kind of like the Undertaker and Shawn Michaels. You ain't ever gonna see those guys in the same ring.
Yeah,
they can't have Roman looking weak at all, and Gunther don't know how to not look strong.
The man's a fucking tank.
Exactly, and he's built to be a fucking heel. Like he's not a
face.
The problem. Yeah, that's the bigger problem. Like he would be a face against Roman, obviously, but
true,
it just wouldn't hold up.
Yeah,
and you say Gunther being a heel, he's like that prototypical old school 80s heel.
100%. 100%.
Yeah. And there was a lot of turds on that card, man.
There was.
Hey, dude, matches that should have been good were not good. That AJ Styles Seth Rollins match did absolute, and I love both those guys.
I thought it was decent.
My only problem with Seth Rollins is like I really don't know what's going on. Like, what's his character? Like, I dress funny and I don't really heal. Am I a face? And what am I doing? I don't know. But that AJ is, you know, AJ Styles always, and that's two pay-per-views in a row for me where Seth Rollins has really kind of underwhelmed me.
One thing that
Cody Brock match was, I don't even know what the fuck they're doing there. That's just dumb shit. But
well, if you
we're talking favorites, right? Good matches.
We're talking the good stuff right now, man.
One moment that I really liked from this weekend was that I wanted to bring up. One moment that I liked from the weekend was Zoe Stark being aligned with Trish Stratus. I think that's going to do. Zoe Stark has been killing it on Raw. And I think this is going to do nothing but good for her being aligned with Trish Stratus.
Double dipper. Joey K, what'd you like from the weekend?
Honestly, Night of Champions was better than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
I'm going to say this beforehand. The AJ Seth match to me was good, but it was like AJ versus Shinsuke at WrestleMania, when you just expected it to be the most amazing. Like, this is it. This is going to be the fucking match where two non-WWE guys are going to have that fucking, like, New Japan-style match, and it's going to be a fucking, you know, a world championship match at WrestleMania, and it just didn't. It was a good match, but it didn't live up to it. That's what I thought about the Seth-AJ match, but card was better than I thought. I'm Double or Nothing. I'm going to say my match is from Double or Nothing, though, because it was the one that I, for a long time now, was like, I don't give a fuck. And the match itself turned out to be so much better. It wasn't great. It wasn't amazing. Oh, my God. But it was so much better than my expectations. Was the world title match. That match actually, when it ended, I went, fuck, that was so much better than I thought. And like I'm saying, it's not great. It's not amazing, but it got me into it, and fuck it. I'm not going to lie. I love the baby announcement. That was awesome. But fuck, man, it roped me the fuck in. And I was like, shit. good for them, because I've been shitting on that fucking match for weeks.
Yeah, dude, honestly, that kid's either going to be the sexiest Mexican kid or whatever. She's what? I don't. What's Ty?
Brazilian.
Brazilian, and he's
Cuban.
Mexican American.
He's Cuban and something mixed.
Cuban's not. That kid's either going to be the sexiest little kid you've ever seen, sexiest little fucker you've ever seen, or one of the ugliest little bastards you've ever seen. Those are two of the prettiest motherfuckers you've ever seen in your life, and they're having a kid. That kid's going to come out with one eye or some bullshit.
It's like, true.
Nobody that pretty gets.
Yeah. So wait, you think Sammy Guevara and Ty have pretty kids? So wait, Sammy Guevara and Ty Miller are going to give birth to Sloth?
I don't.
She's Ty Guevara now, man. You know they got married.
He's pretty for a dude.
Yo, he's a good looking guy. I'm not
that guy could do like skincare commercials for 25. Fucking Oil of Olay and shit.
There's our TikTok. He's a pretty dude.
That's a pretty motherfucker right there, dude. I'm not sure which one's prettier, to be honest with you.
All right. Let's move here, man.
Wait, Jovan. Well, what about you?
Yeah. Mine.
it's like you don't ever want to fucking tell us shit, dude.
Mine was easy, dude. Mine is the one that I thought it would be what it was going in. It happened fairly early in the weekend. Mine was GCW, fucking Commander, Gringo Loco, and. Vikingo, how can you not? You've got three of the best workers of the lucha style right now.
Yeah.
And they pulled off a move that I have no idea how the fuck they did, that flip powerbomb off the top, and it all worked with nobody breaking a neck.
Yeah.
But it was beautiful. It was beautiful.
I love the fact that Gringo is getting some fucking serious publicity. That guy has been grinding it out on the indie scene for a very long time around here in Chicago. He's one of those dudes you got to keep an eye on. Like, if he's out of shape, he's not as good. We've seen him botch a bunch of that shit at live shows, but he seems to be like taking better care of himself, much healthier, much very fit. And he's pulling off some great fucking matches. So all power to you, bro. I mean, that dude's been grinding it out for about 3 or 4 years now on the indie scene. So I'm so excited that he's finally getting some love.
Hell yeah. Well, ladies, you know what's next. I know you know.
No. Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time. Shootin' Shit proudly presents the Stirrin' Shit Facebook Question of the Week.
Who had the question of the
week? I love that dude's voice, man. That's a sexy little motherfucker right there. Yeah,
I tell you. Yeah, I bet Tay and Sammy's kid's going to sound like that. Yeah.
They should be so fucking lucky.
shit. Sammy's voice still cracks, man. What are you talking about?
That's a pretty sexy voice there, but sometimes it sounds like he comes from a short dude. Yeah.
That's a little on the fucking nose there, isn't it, DDJ?
That's a little way to swing low there, buddy.
Swing low.
Sean had the question of the week, by the way.
What was it? Come on.
Oh, man, I'd have to.
I got it, Sean. Word. Sean, I got it for it. Do you want me to read it?
Yeah, go ahead.
You're already there. Go for it.
All right. So, Sean's question of the week was, how do we feel about retired/Hall of Famers returning for one-offs or short feuds? Is it really good for business, or does it drive ticket sales? Or is it simply a cash grab?
Let's get the Maria Menounos out the way, which was actually not a bad answer because she does drive ticket sales.
Well, apparently she drives at least one guy to keep buying tickets.
No, there's another one. There's another one. I can't remember. I think Joey K sent it to me, but he's like, yeah, we found another person who's all Menounos'd out.
Yeah. And then I got some other answers here. Mrs. Silver Wolf wrote 99% of the time it's a cash grab and she's not a fan. Nick Carpenter over at the Wrestling Nerd Broadcast, which, by the way, those guys are going down to us.
No. Stop it right here. We're stopping the whole freaking episode right now. I don't care.
Uh-oh.
You listen to me. You freaking nerds. How
nerds!
How dare you nerds. Think you're better nerds. Than nerds. The shooting shit nerds. Boys? Nerds. Really?
Nerds. Nerds.
You sound like you're cheering nerds. The nerds on. Nerds. I need you to calm down, Happy. Now, this is not a happy promo.
No, dude. Don't you remember Revenge of the Nerds?
Sounds like you're the nerds cheering section, buddy. Anyways, back to the nerds. Can't ever do shit on the show. Back to the nerds. You have the audacity to say you can outpredict the shooting shit boys audacity. When there's only three of you? There's three of you, and you need a special partner three. To join you. What are you going to do? Pull one of the puppets? Is Harold coming? Is Gerald coming to bail y'all out? Well, I mean, seriously. Oh, yeah, we have our own
puppet over there.
We've got the big puppet over there. They can do a puppet off.
Yeah, you know I saw what? It. I saw it too. Sean put his hand right up his ass and started working his mouth. Fantastic.
So, how about that, you nerdy boys? It'll be us three versus you three and our puppet versus your puppet. Yeah, winner take all.
Fucking A.
That's how we roll. Yeah.
He might be our puppet, but God damn it, he's going to wreck you in trivia, you fuck.
Fucking wrestling trivia Rain Man puppet, God damn it.
Yeah. Going down.
Yeah, was that on your bingo card for 2023? Don't think so, fuckheads.
Yeah.
You don't want none. That's five stars up there in the corner, baby.
Have you ever told the Godfather he was wrong on his own trivia? No, then fucking get in line behind Dennis Day over there. Okay.
I'm all right, so back to the question. Hey, great job, Jovan. But Nick did actually have a really good answer here. And he wrote that wrestling is an attraction-based business, so there will always be a place for the old-timers to return, but wrestling today maybe relies on this too much to sell pay-per-views, probably due to the lack of new stars that have been built over the last decade or so, which is really true when you think about it. Let's see. Michael Fox wrote one off, as long as they're putting younger talent over. Want them to help build a feud? Great. Have them referee a match? Awesome. Long feuds that don't benefit anyone? No way.
Fantastic.
Sean, since it was your question, what do you say?
I think it's bullshit. Bullshit. Jeff Jarrett and his raggedy-ass ratchet wife, they need to go home. Just need to go home.
Just happy they didn't.
Chris Stratus going over on Becky Lynch, possibly the highest ranking female on the roster right now without a belt. She don't need a belt no more. That's how fucking over she is. It's bullshit. It's bullshit, man. The only guy that's out here, actually, that's not true. There's a couple. Bully Ray in Impact, probably doing some of the best heel work he's done his entire fucking career. I mean, he is so fucking killing it right now. It's not even funny. The only other guy I can even think of that doesn't piss me off that's out there is Sting. And that's because Sting can still go. He has no interest in being the main part of the storyline. He's not cracking guitars for no fucking reason and still trying to be relevant and cool. Jeff, stop buying Jordans. You can't pull it off, you stupid fuck. Go take them back to Foot Locker. You don't deserve to wear them. And your ratchet-ass wife can go with you. I'm sorry, Kurt Angle's ratchet ass wife can go with me. I don't like
Kirk
it.
Kurt Angle's ratchet ass wife.
I mean, don't get me wrong, man. I like to see these guys come back. Like, I mean, if we go back and think about like The Rock and Hulk Hogan at Mania, you can't.
It's a great match.
You know, Hulk was coming off, you know, still actually being, you know, competitive and wrestling on a pretty regular basis. It's these guys that, like, you know, and I'm not just picking on Jeff. I know Jeff Jarrett has a place in wrestling right now. It for me, it's just not
behind the curtain.
It's behind the curtain, man. But he's such a fucking egomaniac, and he's Jesus, Daddy, please make, you know, please look, see what I'm doing, Dad, see what I'm doing. He's like that kid from fucking Mad TV. Look at me. I can't.
Stuart?
I just can't get over. Yeah. I just can't get over it, man. I just
stop.
If they're not if they're not building new talent, and putting new talent over. Dude, stay the fuck home. You're just taking money from somebody else. There's other people on those rosters that could be benefiting from that. Now, I kind of like that they're bringing Zoe Stark in and having her kind of be there with Trish. But what was the point of that? I don't get it. Trish made a big fat paycheck to go to Saudi Arabia because that's where they wanted her to be. You know, the Saudi Arabians wanted her to wrestle in their show, so that's why she was there. But you know, you can't win clean. You got to use Zoe. Yeah, it doesn't really do anything for me, man. Like the only person that's really caught me off guard and then I've marked out about was when Sting came back to AEW, and the guy's had a handful of matches. He's never been in a storyline about a title. It's never once been about him ever. The entire time he's been back, it's just been about him helping and putting over Darby Allin and other young talent that he's working with. And that's why everybody respects that motherfucker, because he's he don't care about one last match or needing to be the man or I got to have a belt. He just don't. The guy is just so goddamn humble and loves the business so much. And yes, every time he gets in the ring, I fucking cringe because I don't want to see him hurt or injured in a way that's going to change his quality of life. Because if there's one guy from that era that should still be able to walk and talk and be a part of the business, it's him.
Because the guy's, butcher.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
DDJ.
For me, I see where Sean's coming from. I see where a lot of these people that think it's the cash grab. I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, I think it's a little bit of a cash grab sometimes because you see guys like, you know, Goldberg and that, and even like, you know, when Shawn Michaels came back for that match in Saudi Arabia, which was,
he made $3 million for that one match,
and it was a stinker.
And but
he was the best participant in the match.
Goddamn right. Go back and watch that match. The only reason why that match goes off is because Shawn Michaels carried them three motherfuckers.
Yeah.
And
if Triple H hadn't been hurt, it might have been different. But once H went down, Sean carried that match. He carried it
unbelievably so.
Yeah.
But then we talk about, you know, like guys like Goldberg. You know, some people would say Brock Lesnar, and that. But then there are like you guys that you mentioned, like, you know, Sting, or even, you know, John Cena, as of late. And stuff. I think it's either or. It just depends on who it is and stuff. And I mean, it's great to see the legends and stuff and the guys that like that I grew up watching, the premiere, you know, the Hot Ones, Silver Wolf, that we all grew up watching, you know, that can still go. But at the same time, you know, when it's at the expense of like these up and coming talents who really deserve more than what they're getting, we talk about like Bray Wyatt, you know, when he lost to The Undertaker at WrestleMania. Like we talk about, you know, just stuff like that. That was the first one I could think of. It's so much like when done properly, like what you mentioned with Sting with Darby Allin, with John Cena with Austin Theory, hell with, even though he lost, Austin kind of putting over Kevin Owens in a way, you know, and like, you know, trusting him enough to do that match and stuff. It's a great thing. And again, I go back to Austin versus KO from WrestleMania. I mean, that was hella fun. And I mean, yeah, Austin won, but man, did he make KO look like $1 million in that match. It's so it's both ways and stuff.
Some would say Owens kind of helped him out a little bit too, man, because Sting ain't where he used to be. And
Owens and made him look like $1 million.
Yeah, that's true.
That's Steve for me. And like, I understand what you're saying. But, like, to me, that's like a one off.
Yeah.
Steve came back, had one match, and he's gone.
Then he's done. So, yeah.
That's it.
Premier. But,
man, I fucking hate it. I do. Look, I mean, Cena, Sting, those guys are the fucking exception and not the rule. Let's be real. Like Cena came back, the fucking Make-A-Wish kids, and he puts over Austin Theory. Like,
That was a cool entrance, by the way, at Mania with the Make-A-Wish kids.
That until Theory was like, fuck them kids, and was like and just went on about his day. Like, I like that, because like, if you're gonna come back for a one-off, number one, okay, cool. You're doing it at Mania. Everybody's got something to do there at Mania or Mania Week, or they're on the NXT show, whatever it is, there's something happening pretty much for everybody. Number two, like, save that shit for a one-off on a big show.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to see these fucking guys come back and have, I got one last run in me. Fuck all, dude. Yeah. Like, I don't want to see that. Like, I moved on to the next thing. Maybe I'm not as huge in the nostalgia thing, probably because I watch it very different. I mean, how many times did we watch Ric Flair die last year in the ring?
At least three.
At least three. We can confirm two.
Yeah.
I mean, for fuck's sake, dude. And
yeah, at this point, dude, it's just more – I mean, it's hard to watch because it's so fucking embarrassing.
Dude, yeah. Dude, fucking Dory Funk wrestling at, like, what, 71?
Yeah.
Like,
He wants to die in the ring.
I mean, he would fucking be, like, just on the apron. He could barely fucking get through the ropes. Like, and look, no disrespect at all, because the fucking Funks are, like, you know. Legends. Dory Funk, fucking Terry Funk. Like, I mean, all praise. But, god damn it. Like, you just start to worry about the fucking health of somebody that you, like, I enjoy watching this person. Now I'm fucking, like, bro, I might be watching the fucking last thing you do, man. This is a fucking snuff film. And I don't like that feeling, and I hate that feeling. And I get that feeling with Sting. And, like, yeah, everybody's like, yeah, but Sting looks good. Sting, I understand that. I understand that.
But it's still, it takes this one bad bump, bro.
Yep, exactly. So, but I don't know. I just
that's
I,
everybody who laces up, man.
Yeah, right. I was just going to say that. One bad bump
away from their career being over. Everybody that gets in the ring.
I understand that.
Yeah,
but I get when you're coming back, I'm just talking like when you're coming back from that last run, it's like, it just, I don't know, it never sits well with me. So I'm not a fan of it. And but will it ever change? No, because it's a business. You're here to make money.
Yeah,
and I'm sorry, DDJ, I'm going to use you as a fucking example, but like, I they're hitting you up specifically because they want you to buy the fucking t-shirt. They want you to spend all your fucking money on it. And that's what you're going to do. You're going to hit that and say, what t-shirt are you wearing right now? You're wearing the Raven t-shirt, aren't you? Exactly. Okay. And like, look, I love Raven. I grew up fucking Philly, ECW. Dude, the best version of Raven was in ECW. Hands down.
Okay? Some would say the only version of Raven was in ECW.
That's very true as well. But, like, what shirt am I wearing? Which we'll get to shortly anyway. You know? And yeah, and Punk came back, but Punk's still in the range of coming the fuck back. It's not like, oh my god, Punk's like 64 fucking years old. You know? Getting the fucking early bird special.
Might as well just hit that now, man. So we're running long anyways. Let's get
What's your answer, Jovan, to the question?
Oh, man, my answer, you know, I'm trying to give you guys some time. You guys are, you know, chatty Cathy's tonight. But, shit.
Yeah, but you deserve some time, too.
I don't like it when it's not done well. And it's only been done well, in my mind, a few times. The times when I really, really like it, the way it's done, was Savio Vega at Backlash. Savio didn't take a bump.
That was good.
He gave the chops. Yes. Done.
Good,
and
nice.
Dusty went in there, took off the belt, delivered the elbow, didn't take a bump. It's all you need from those guys. Let them hit their one big thing and let them go. Don't make them take a bump.
That's good, Joe.
But Arn Anderson taking a bump on Sunday night.
Yeah, Arn don't need to be in the ring. He already fell off the apron once, man.
Fucking Arn. Arn not knowing how to bust a fucking blood pill in his mouth, making it look like he's foaming rabbit because he bit the thumb off of Luchasaurus. Couldn't have the fucking ref holder for you because he looked like
that's
he was
another
freaking...
one, dude. Like Arn's just too
dude.
Shouldn't be doing it.
If I want to see Arn Anderson, just give me a spine buster and get the hell out of there, dude.
I don't think he can do it. He hasn't thrown a spine buster yet, so I don't think he can anymore.
I think the last time he did one was at the first All Out in Chicago.
I know, dude, but now he's struggling to roll out. Remember when he used to do that spine buster and then he'd just roll out of the ring real quick?
Yeah. The best one was Flair versus Taker at Mania. And he just popped in, hit the spine buster, dropped and rolled right out. And I was like,
That's it.
That was beautiful.
That's all you need, baby.
All you need.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to Charles Manfred Punk, since I know you guys are foaming at the mouth to get onto this one.
I'm just waiting for this nuclear final thought for my.
I'm foaming in my shorts for it, bud.
Jesus.
Let's go.
Yeah. Go ahead, man. Kick us off. The non-Chicago guy who's the big fan of the Punk.
Yeah, let's go. I'm fucking rocking it. It was the worst kept fucking secret since Punk came back on Rampage, dude. Like, everybody knew Punk was going to come back for this. Oh, we're premiering a new show at the United Center. Wink! Like, okay. Like, exactly. But I'm fucking for it, dude. Look, the fucking Bucks and Kenny get to come back, and they get to fucking go right into the fucking Trios title shit again and all that stuff. And now we're back with the Elite and everybody's all fucking happy and high-fiving and fucking slapping dicks around. And that's cool. Whatever. But Punk, of course, tore his tricep, had to have surgery again, healed up, and he's coming back. And it's going to be fucking great. Everything's going to be fine. Do you want to know why everything's going to be fine? Because everybody wants to make fucking money.
Yep.
Dude, that whole brawl out incident hurt AEW more than anybody will ever fucking let on. But the truth of it is this. It turned a lot of people going, because what a lot of people forget is this. CM Punk is a name to a casual fan. And CM Punk does draw fucking money. Don't give me your fucking quarter by quarter ratings and all that bullshit.
Yeah, baby.
Dude, if you know Punk is going to be at a show, that show's probably going to fucking sell out.
Yeah.
That's just the way the world works, and that's business. And Tony Khan might be an absolute little fucking munchkin cokehead, but...
Allegedly.
But he also likes money because his family's got a whole fucking lot of it. So you're going to tell me you're not going to bring back probably the biggest, arguably, the biggest attraction for AEW in its short few years of existence.
Yeah. He's got more money than anybody there, and that includes Omega.
And why do we give Punk so much shit, too, by the way? Because if I recall... that MJF shit last year went from a fucking shoot to a work. And I think a lot of people forget that and don't realize, like, oh, yeah, MJF was like, fuck you. I'll take my ball and go home because everybody fucking wants me. And they had to pay him and they fucking worked it out. And now he's the fucking champ and doing his thing. And that's fine and great. But why is Punk? Oh, because Punk's this and that. And I saw a meme about this and I'm going to have to paraphrase it. But because I still have the time to look it up again. But it was like, yeah, maybe he is a miserable old prick. But also, maybe he just kind of stands up for himself and doesn't put his fucking head down and go along with the flow of shit and actually says, hey, maybe this place would be better if you weren't a bunch of fucking kids running this show.
Fucking right, baby.
So maybe he wasn't wrong. Maybe it's not all the fucking doom and gloom that everybody went, oh, Punk's a fucking asshole. I'm Team Kenny and Team Elite and blah, 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 blah. Nobody gives a fuck. You know why? Because you're shilling out your fucking dollars. You're ordering the goddamn pay-per-views every few weeks fucking right now. And not to mention, you're fucking buying all the t-shirts on Pro Wrestling Tees. By the way, hit us up, buy our shirt, shoot shit, what up? You're buying the shirts on there. You're fucking buying the fucking tickets to go to the live shows. You're fucking watching every week on Dynamite. Dude, it's a money game. It's a business. So that's my fucking two cents on it. I'm happy for it. Bring him back. Let's kick it off. Just don't know who he's going to feud with, though, to start with.
Oh, you don't know?
Well, the rumor I had heard was that it was going to – his first feud was going to be possibly Chris Jericho was going to be his first feud.
Oh, Dennis, mute yourself real quick.
It's going to be Samoa Joe, baby.
It's Samoa. It's Samoa Joe.
Well, that was the first match, but I think his first real feud is supposed to be Samoa. We'll see, you know.
They're saying
Samoa. I don't want to see him feud with Jericho. And in fact, after the Jericho Adam Cole fucking debacle, I don't want to see Jericho wrestle for a while. Like, yeah, let's
Jericho
just
needs to go rest. He's getting slower and slower. Two things on the Punk thing. Number one, just play Cult of Personality and get the fuck out of the way. Number two, the CM and CM Punk stands for cash money, bitches. Deal with it. That's why he's coming back. Tony Khan might be a fucking moron at a lot of shit when it comes to pro wrestling, but he knows who's going to put asses in the seats, and asses equal money, and Punk is money.
Yeah. So to kind of piggyback off what you two were saying, what number viewership-wise, what was AEW doing before CM Punk came in? What would you say on average? About 8, maybe 900,000?
Oh, man, I don't pay attention to the viewers. If we paid attention to the viewers, we wouldn't do this fucking show.
Yeah.
Okay, so
over a million.
Viewers ran the world, we wouldn't do this every week. Come on now.
Now, when Punk was there, what were they doing?
Over a million.
Consistently.
Consistently.
When Punk, allegedly. What have they been doing since Punk left?
It wasn't allegedly, ass hat. You had to just pull it up. It was like 1.8 million they were doing when he was on the show regularly.
What have they been doing since the brawl out?
Like 880.
So they're basically back to where they were before Punk.
A little bit higher than where they were before, yeah.
Punk is the only wrestler that has really been a needle mover for AEW.
Outside of WWE, CM Punk is the barometer for pro wrestling.
And that. So from a business perspective, this is absolutely a no-brainer home run. This is great. You know, obviously, in my opinion, everybody was in the wrong. Nobody was right about this brawl out thing. It could have been handled so much better and stuff. So it's not fair to say it was all Punk's fault. It's not fair to say it was the Elite's fault. It's fair to say that it was everybody's fault because everybody could have handled this better. And if they can get those guys, they don't have to like each other, but if they can get those guys to work together for a program, that's going to be what really starts bringing in the money for AEW. And whether or not it actually happens, we'll have to wait and see. But to me, Punk's going to be the reason Collision starts selling out every week.
It has to be. I mean, like, dude, nobody else is going to draw money like that. And not even everybody's precious Kenny Omega. And I love Kenny, and he's great. But goddamn, man, nobody is CM Punk.
Nobody is. Nobody's been able, like I said, nobody's been able to move the needle for AEW besides CM Punk.
And when he is done, see, Punk's a guy, I think when he's done, he's going to be done.
Right.
I also think Danielson's the same way.
Yeah.
Those are guys who are like, I've called it a day. I'm done. Yeah. If I'm going to work here, I'm going to go the fucking Dean Malenko, Jerry Lynn route, and you're not going to see me on fucking TV. I'm going to be backstage helping these kids and doing my part from back here.
And
that's how I feel about Punk and Brian. It's just like, you know.
And you got to remember, too, Punk learned under the tree of Heyman, man.
Yeah. Yep. And going back to Punk, Punk gets a reputation for maybe not being the easiest guy to work with or not just being a good guy in general. But see, I beg to differ. Every experience I've had meeting Punk, he's been great. He's the only guy I think I've wrestled that I've ever seen actually right when the show is getting ready to start. Like, this is, you know, people are coming into the arena, you know, everybody's backstage getting ready for the show or whatever. CM Punk is the only person I think I've ever seen actually go out of his way to take pictures and sign autographs for fans, which he was doing on that Rampage before All Out last year. And stuff like I got a picture with him, and it's the only time I've ever seen a wrestler actually do that before a show and stuff. And it's just Punk has a bad reputation, you know, amongst a lot of people, but you know, a lot of people like myself, I don't think he's as bad of a guy as a lot of people like to say is, but that's just based on my experiences with him. Like I said, to me, Punk equals money for AEW. So yeah, this is a no brainer.
Fantastic. Well, now that you guys have thoroughly jacked off CM Punk,
The fucking hate for Punk with you was so strong, dude.
Did
he not sign a fucking action figure for you, or just like?
Oh, I have a really good story about when I met Punk. He was a cool guy.
Well, then why are you always shitting on him?
But that's the thing. You can be a cool guy. Let me tell y'all a little something about business, because we're talking about business. You know, this is all business. It's nothing but business. You can be the nicest guy in the world and still be a horrible fucking prick at your job, right? And that's what happens. Sometimes if you don't like what you're doing, you're going to be a horrible fucking prick at your job. And it may not even be anything because you're not a good guy. Maybe you actually enjoy working and, you know, seeing the marks. But for some reason, you just hate taking direction. Or maybe you just don't feel like you're in the right spot that you should be in. You know, hey. Well, thanks for that. You know, you go in and do your job and you get out, right? I'm going to tell y'all something right now. To have not only one place, two places, three places come out and be like, man, CM Punk's a fucking, he's a cancer. He's not really the guy you want to work with. This guy seems like, oh, he's all about the business when he first gets in. Because, you know, when you're dating somebody, yeah, you're going to put on your nice fucking dress shirt in the beginning. You're going to not take her to McDonald's. You might go to the fucking Red Lobster. You might go to fucking the nice restaurant in town. But after a while, when you start to get comfortable, you're going to be gray sweatpants and fucking sleeveless t-shirts at the McDonald's. That's the same thing with CM Punk. At the beginning, oh, this guy's a veteran voice in the locker room. He's so great and awesome. And oh, CM Punk. And then it just breaks down into, man, Phil sucks dick. And it happens. It happens to everybody, honestly. I'm not just shitting on CM Punk. And please don't take it that way, all of you guys who love CM Punk. I know there's a lot of you. But that's the thing, right? You can't just be fucking blindsided that it's CM Punk. He's the best thing in wrestling. Because honestly, when he was wrestling, I still think Chris Benoit was better. Danielson was better. But, you know, murder, what murder? You know, that happened. So, fuck you. You got stuck with fucking CM Punk, right?
Dude, how is it you can make Chris Benoit jokes, but I can't fucking say anything about the Von Erichs, dude? That's
because that was sacrilegious. But also, anyway.
Also, his mom punked him to
dick. Yeah, but anyways, dude, and to wrap up my thought on this whole CM Punk debacle, the only thing AEW needs to do is let this man be who he is. He's the fucking best in the world. He is the best athlete that they have on that show. Let Kenny Omega be Kenny. Don't let Kenny, you know, not give us the full version of the cleaner. I saw Kenny be the real cleaner in NJPW, and I said, goddamn, that's that man. He went against Will Ospreay, and that was that man. Like, where's this guy been week in and week out and week in and without? We're getting this dude who's losing to Takeshka. Takeshka is the one that you're really going to put the future on. This is Kenny by God Omega. This is the Gaijin that took over New Japan Pro Wrestling. This is the Gaijin that took the Bullet Club to a whole nother level. And you're going to let him flounder and not bring out the actual cleaner? What's it going to take for AEW to use him correctly? And I don't know, man. I'm just going to leave it there. CM Punk thing, to me, Punk could be good, bad, whatever. It's good for business, as they used to say in the WWE. I hope they love him. I hope, you know, he does everything that you want. I hope he brings all of you guys the presents that you want for Christmas and tickles your taints while you sleep. Because you guys are so happy he's back. So, you know, we'll go with that. But final thoughts.
A lot of hate there, man.
Wow, yeah.
Final thoughts.
Wow.
Who wants to go first?
I'll go first because I want to get mine out of the way because I want to get myself ready for Sean's final thought here.
I hope Sean doesn't fall flat with his final thought.
Like, yeah, you're kind of building me up here, bro.
Fucking flatter than a plate of piss at 4 p.m.
Dude, yeah, now I got to be good because if he's going to throw Cornette at me, I got to show.
But, I mean, It was last weekend was a great weekend, you know, for wrestling fans, but last weekend was also a great weekend for me because I got to spend time, you know, with my wife and my son. We went on a little vacation and stuff, and so I didn't get to watch a lot of what was on, you know, live and stuff. I, you know, caught some at the hotel room, you know, eventually got caught up and stuff. But granted, everything, you know, this past weekend, there was a lot of wrestling on. But to me, the weekend wasn't about that. It was about being with my family. And it's just really nice to be able to kind of, you know, do something, you know, with my wife and my son. You know, my son just finished school. He's officially a third grader now. So, yeah, I'm having one of those moments and stuff. Yeah. And that, you know, and it's just, I you know, I love my wife. I love my son. You know, I'm very grateful that I have them in my life just as much as I'm grateful for you guys and stuff. And it's just, it's nice, like, to be able to enjoy wrestling, but at the same time, you know what, just being with the family, man, it just gives me just as good of a feeling as watching pro wrestling. And I just hope all you guys, and I hope all the shooters out there, man, just have a kick-ass summer this summer.
Hags.
All right, who's next?
I'm not sure you should have gave him that thing, man.
Joey K.
A final thought. I have a couple final thoughts.
All right, here we go.
Final thought number one.
Ooh.
Fuck the Celtics. The Heat knocked them out. That was fucking phenomenal. Couldn't be fucking happier. Could not have happened.
Yeah, dude.
You know what?
Fuck them Lakers too, baby.
Fuck them Lakers.
Fuck LaFlop James. Fuck LaFlop James.
Yep. I'm about it. Fucking, I want to see. Okay, game one, not tonight. Game one was not tonight. But God damn it, I want to see Jimmy fucking Buckets get a ring.
Jimmy Buckets.
Go. I'm going to tell you this. You guys know I fucking love my Sixers. I'm a fucking diehard Sixers fan. But God damn it, man. I'll cheer for Jimmy on any fucking team, whether it's the Heat, the fucking Bulls. I don't care. I don't care if he goes back up there and takes the bench and fucking beats the shit out of Minnesota starters all over again and says, pay me, motherfuckers. I'm out. I'm about it. That's one. Final thought number two. Welcome to Philadelphia, Nick Nurse. Very excited for this signing. New coach. Look, I love Doc, but his shit wasn't working. You got to kind of move on. You got the fucking most dominant big man of the past 10 years. And yeah, you can say Jokic, whatever. I don't give a fuck. Embiid is my fucking guy. The process I have trusted. And now we're going to get Nick Nurse, who's a bad motherfucker who I absolutely despised in Toronto, knocking the Sixers out. But I'm happy he's going to be here in Philly. That's number two. Number three, I cried a lot last night.
There's three? I thought there was two. Yeah, that's all right. Go ahead, man.
I cried like a little bitch last night.
Aww.
Is it because you were alone?
The series finale of Ted Lasso hit me right in the fucking subcockles. And I was not fucking prepared.
Follow-up question, where are the subcockles?
Below the cockles.
There you go.
It's in the upper cockles.
It's taint adjacent. There you go.
I'm just gonna say I fucking got teary-eyed and weepy no less than four times watching that show. If you haven't watched it, it's three seasons, it's on Apple TV. Watch it, it's fucking amazing. It's one of the best shows I've ever watched, hands down, bar none. Every fucking character you love. Jason Sudeikis as Ted is the most fucking amazing thing. Number four, fuck the Cowboys still. Number five, can't wait to get back to Chicago because I fucking love that city. And number six, Javon, tell me what you want.
Fantastic. I don't know why you had to throw a fuck the Cowboys in there.
Why not?
You know what? Calm down up there.
It's in my fucking blood, dude. That's my heritage. What are you talking about?
It's in my DNA. Talking about in the DNA, man, to all my degenerate gamblers out there who took hard losses tonight because Jimmy Buckets decided to take the night off. I'm more with you. The motherfucker only needed 49 and a half fantasy points, and he came in at a measly 36.9, undersold and hooked us like a motherfucker. So I feel you gamblers out there who took that and was like, wow, that's a hell of a line for Jimmy Buckets. He fucked us. Also, to my degenerate gamblers who knew the line for Jamal Murray and saw that the over-under on his three-point made attempts was at 3, and you knew that in the last 11 out of 12 home games, fucking Murray has hit at least 5 three-pointers. For him to brick it up tonight and only get 2, and that was 2 in the first half and nothing in the last half of that game, I feel for you guys as well, because I also took that hook on that damn bet. But as much as I love Joey K, and as much as I respect his basketball team and his choice words about Joel Embiid, the Joker is that guy.
Fuck out of here.
Oh, the Joker is that guy.
You
the
fucking
only, the only guy
fucking weirdo
who came through on my damn parlay was the Joker, who made his 27 points look easy. And Michael Porter, if you were smart enough to take the rebounds and assists, because you knew that Michael Porter at least got 5 assists in the last 6 games and was averaging about 3 rebounds in the last couple of games in the playoffs. So he was a surefire way to go over 8. Oh, yeah, dude. Fucking take that all day long. They need to stop disrespecting Michael Porter. To all the degenerate gamblers out there, Michael Porter Jr. is where you're going to make money on this series. Stay away from Jimmy Buckets because he's bipolar. But let's get out of gambling talk real quick. Just like Joey K, I was crying like a baby today too, man.
Fuck you, asshole lips.
It's racist because I'm brown. I don't like that, Joey. That you're better than that.
No, he's not.
Dude, I'm fucking brown, dude.
What are
you talking about?
What's going on?
I was on the fucking continent. You were on the island. Same fucking heritage eventually somewhere down the line. God damn it, bro.
Oh, fuck. Anyways.
That ain't a stretch at all right there.
So, yeah, it's not. It's about as big as a stretch between the subcock and the damn taint. But
it's not
subcockle, sorry, and the taint's right there. Yes, it's the gap, the small gap between. Dude,
the
gooch. It's the gooch. kick him in the gooch. I'm a big fan, man. And, you know, I don't know if we recorded this part or not. We were talking. Yeah, we did, about Waylon Jennings and Dallas and the outlaw country music, man. Mm-hmm. If you guys know or not, we're about an hour right now from Jelly Roll launching Wittish Chapel, which is his latest album. If you guys don't know Jelly Roll, please look him up. If you've ever been through anything in your life,
yeah,
this man speaks to you in his music. The shit I like is just watching all of his interviews. He said, you know, he had a revelation one day. And his story with Joe Rogan was fucking amazing. Had me crying on the way to Chicago.
Hang on.
Yeah?
Talking about Jelly, wasn't that the fucking song from the 69 Boys?
No.
No. Jelly Rose actually is a rapper turned country
singer,
artist.
He's a country singer. Yeah, he's a... Yeah. Outlaw country slash rapper kind of singer.
Yeah, he started rapping on the streets.
He weighs like 400 or 500 pounds, dude. The
guy's a big dude. He's
legit though.
But
I'll take your word for it. I'm just saying, like,
let me see that Tootsie Roll,
not Jelly Roll. That's
you better stop that before we get flagged.
Hey, I kept it under the
motherfuckers will sue us.
I kept it under the time limit. We're okay. Everybody's
they're looking
fine.
For a check. But back to Jelly Roll, man. It's you go and listen to like his stuff with Joe Rogan. You watch his video that's out on Hulu. And he breaks it down simple, man. He said that he's making music for those sinners, man. He's making music for people who have done shit in their life. And he said, I like my music because I want to make it feel like it's gospel, but it's gospel for people who've done shit.
Yeah.
Right. And that's 100% what it is. You watch the fucking Hulu documentary on him and he's going through his shit. You look in the crowd, man. That crowd is rough. That crowd has seen some fucking things.
Looks like a GCW show.
Dude, it looks like a GCW show. But the moment that fool starts with "Somebody Save Me," that whole crowd is into it, tuned in. People are crying.
Yeah.
To hear, like, to see the interactions he has with the fans and people telling him things. And, like, the one I was telling Sean, the lady went up to him and she said, you know, she heard of his music through her son, and she was her son's favorite. And then he, you know, when he took his life, every time she hears his music, she thinks of her son. And she goes, and that's a bad, weird memory to have of your music, but in a way it brings us closer to him.
Yeah.
And you're seeing this is, and like Sean said, he's a big fucking dude. I'm talking about 6 foot tall, 500 pounds easy. And yeah, the guy is streaming tears while this lady is telling her about her story because he feels it too.
He's a real dude, man. He's a real dude.
He's a real fucking guy. So yeah, for real. watching all of his shit, listening to his interviews and shit, just because his big album drops tomorrow, which is his first country album, full album. I'm just a fan, man, and that's the shit I like. I'm a Southern boy at heart, man. I'm fucking Texas. You know, country music is bred here. We don't, you know, it doesn't matter who you are. You like country music down here because it's all we have most of the time. So, you know, shout out to everybody who knows Jelly Roll. If you don't know Jelly Roll, give it a listen, man. Give a listen to Save Me. Give a listen to Favor, Son of a Sinner. Go in there and just listen to some of these songs. I guarantee you, you'll get the feeling of being in that Baptist church because that's how he feels. He's given a sermon in these songs, and it's fucking
back beautiful. Pee with that Baptist church, baby.
Yes, sir. But that's my final thought, man. You know, go listen to some good music. I've already given a nuclear hit on Mr. Punk.
Nuclear. It's pronounced nuclear.
I can only TM up. I mean, I don't know about the production sometimes on the show.
Why can't you say it properly and say nuclear? Because then it works better.
Because I don't know what's the proper way of saying it.
Nuclear?
What did I say?
Nuclear. It's pronounced nuclear.
There you go. So I'm going to pass it to Sean, who will close us out.
Hold on a second, Sean. Before you give your thought, let me get some popcorn here.
Oh, Jesus Christ, dude.
Do you really have popcorn?
He really has popcorn.
You mark.
That's awesome. Hey, dude, if he's going to mark for something.
Oh, if you're going to mark for something, mark for yourself like me.
Okay, for it.
Legends of the Ring Sting, man. It's a great figure. Old school figure. Looks great. It's Sting! Old school Sting from WCW. Guys, you know us. Three-fourths of the shooting shit team. And we're here with a listener just like you guys. This is Jimmy from Super Powers Comics.
My friend of almost 20 years. Yeah, he's known him since you were 12.
If you know people in Chicago, you probably know Dennis because he knows half the town.
Of course.
But shooters, if you need action figures, comics, wrestling memorabilia, we just showed you Sting. Super Powers Comics. We'll put up their QR codes so you can get a good look at everything they have coming. Give it a shot, shooters. Get your superpowers on and get your comments from our friend Jimmy, who listens just like you.
Get your superpowers on with Superpowers Comics.
You just run a fucking commercial in the middle of my fucking final thought.
I didn't know you had started already because by the time I hit the button, you hadn't started yet. I think there was a delay, yeah.
All right, Sean, the floor is yours.
Oh, no, I want to make sure Javon's done stroking himself. Are you good?
He's never done stroking himself.
Yeah! Yeah, I'm good.
I'm a big star. Big, big star.
With this one fan. Mama. With this one fan.
Oh. Never seen anybody want to have a beer with Dennis. We have that post.
That's the, you know what? He's got you there, bro. He's got you there.
Fuck, damn it.
All right, Sean, go ahead.
This Speaking with the New York Post, Corgan made it clear that he's not concerned about Tyrus' work with Fox News. That was a couple weeks ago. This week, he said, when Tyrus walks through the door, he brings the heat. Probably because he's 600 fucking pounds. And if you're not going to watch him, then you're not a wrestling fan. Well, you're a fucking musician who don't know what the fuck he's talking about. I'm not booking a charity. I'm booking a professional wrestling company. Well, if that's the case, your heavyweight champion would be able to fucking wrestle, wouldn't he? I think he's changing the NWA doesn't stand for the National Wrestling Alliance anymore. It stands for No Wrestling Allowed. Because this fat piece of shit who doesn't have a promo and can't work is still walking around with the 10 pounds of gold. And Billy Corgan is still swearing up and down that people should not be bringing their political beliefs into professional wrestling. Which is true. They shouldn't. The problem is that we're not the ones doing it. You are, you ball-headed fuck. You are deliberately acting like you don't know what the problem is. And your women's champion, Camille, who we all know and are fans of,
Camille,
agrees with the public. I think Billy likes being polarizing. It's something he's done his entire life. As far as Tyrus is concerned and politics, I don't think the politics and wrestling should be intertwined. Your own women's champion is telling you you're doing it wrong. I'm a firm believer that somewhere down the road, we're going to find out the reason why Nick Aldis is not in the NWA anymore had nothing to do with contract disputes or anything. I feel like Billy Corgan looked Nick Aldis in the eye and said, I think I'm going to put the strap on Tyrus. And Nick Aldis went, I'm fucking out of here. Because if that's who's carrying the belt, this company has no fucking credibility whatsoever. So let's talk about old school heat and what that means. Rick Rude had old school heat. He'd walk in a ring, call your women fat pigs, drop his robe, fucking preem and proper, pose his ass off with that fucking million-dollar body that he had.
So they could see a real man.
So they could see what a real man looked like.
Those Minnesota sweat hogs.
Had old school heat. Everywhere he went, he had old school heat. Minnesota, St. Louis, Chicago, the WWE.
The Weasel.
The NWA, WCW later on. Old school heat. Yep. Let's even come up with a more current version of old school heat. Like, for instance, last night. On Dynamite, when the world's biggest tampon, Don Callis, with his spray can, walked out to the middle of the ring with Takeshita and you couldn't even hear it. As he walked through the curtain, the booze and the noise was so loud that he hadn't even got to the ring yet. And by the time he grabbed the mic, he had to yell his promo because the people there hate him so much. See, that's old school heat.
Mm-hmm.
That's what, and don't get me wrong, Don Callis is a fucking legit douchebag.
Oh, he's a dick. We've said it already.
Complete and total fucking dick. Yeah, absolutely. That's not kayfabe. He is legit a douchebag. Anybody that walks around with a fucking spray tan that looks like that has got no fucking self-confidence whatsoever. But, that little bitch never once had to use any other reason to get heat other than the fact that he's just a fucking dick.
Yeah.
Your own people in your own company are telling you that what you are doing with this guy is fucking up your company. Your pay-per-view buys are down. That's just a fact. You can fucking complain and talk all the bullshit you want about running a charity
and you're in the professional wrestling business. No, dude, you're just a fan who had a little bit of money and got lucky enough to buy a company, which you are fucking up. And I know you're fucking it up and you're doing it on purpose because you've done it right before. Aldis, great choice. Murdoch, somebody should have put a belt on. You talk about a guy that old school heat. Mm-hmm. You don't get more old school performer than Murdoch. But what you did was you looked around at CNN and MSNBC and Fox News and went, oh, this fat motherfucker's on TV. I'm going to put my belt on him. And then I'm going to walk around and pretend like I don't understand why everybody's pissed off. Guess what, fuckstick? We're not mad because he's on Fox News. Yeah, we don't like him because of that. Because he has no business in that arena anyway. Can't have the moral fucking high ground when you're sending dick pics to the chick you're working with. Okay, so let's get that shit out of the fucking way.
It's an awful small pick is what I heard.
To still say this motherfucker is an ex-WWE wrestler. That bitch hasn't been in the WWE for 15 fucking years. And if he could work, he'd be working for anybody else but you.
Somebody call his mama.
To sit there and say that if you're not a fan of Tyrus, you're not a wrestling fan. I come back with, if you are a fan of Tyrus, then you don't know what the fuck you're watching anyway. Because that guy isn't a wrestler. He's not a worker. He's not a mechanic. He can't cut a promo because he's too fucking stupid to put sentences together. And if you want, I can go even more southern country because these guys all know I can sound pretty goddamn dumb when I'm getting tired and that country starts sliding out and I can't stop. So don't make me go trailer parking, you ignorant motherfuckers. This guy, he's fucking feeding you a plate of shit and trying to convince you that it's filet mignon. Send that shit back to the chef and tell him you're not interested. Go get a Whataburger or a fucking, you know, Jack in a Box or a fucking Taco Bell or whatever.
Portillo's.
Don't fucking tell me that we don't know wrestling. Son, we know wrestling. We're the one who buys your fucking pay-per-views, your tickets to your shows, your merchandise, your toys, your video games. You don't have a fucking wrestling career if it isn't for guys like us. And guys like us, we might bullshit and tell dick jokes and fuck around on each other and laugh and cut up and everything else, but don't get it twisted, motherfucker. We know what we're talking about. Lifelong fans, Philly, Dallas, Chicago. Go fuck yourself with that no fan bullshit. And the bad part is man, I want to give your product, and I really do want to watch, but I just can't because you just make it completely impossible to watch. You run a business like teenagers fuck.
Bring that home. Come on.
Out of control. So climb out of the back seat, bitch. Start paying attention to what you're doing and quit writing checks your ass can't cash. Because I swear to God, if I walked down the street and seen you coming my way, we'd be having a conversation about what real old school heat is. Because I'd show you. And I'd show you quick, and then I'd tag my boy in from Philly up there and let him give you that sweet shin music you've been dreaming about.
Be sure to check us out on YouTube at www.youtube.com/@SHOOTINGSHT. Find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/groups/SHOOTINSHT. Check us out on TikTok at SHOOTINSHIT. And you can buy your official Shoot and Shit shirt at www.prowrestlingtees.com/SHOOTINSHT. And thanks for watching.